रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पते नमः. किष्किंधा कांड चैप्टर नंबर 11, द माइट ऑफ वाली. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. सुग्रीव वैक्स्ड इन डिलाइट एंड वैलर एट द वर्ड्स ऑफ रामा. He joined his hands in reverence, saluted the prince humbly, and praised high his benefactor. O noble lord, dare I doubt that your wrath can send forth blazing arrows and keen to overwhelm this vast universe, even as a thousand-eyed Surya consumes it on the day of dissolution? Let me relate the might, the prowess, the bravery of Vali as best as I can. Hear me out carefully and act accordingly. Vali leaves his bed in the last quarter of the night and visits the four oceans to offer his morning prayers. He returns before daybreak and it is but sport to him. He springs upon lofty mountains and plays at ball with their huge peaks. Also, he would uproot stately trees of the forest in a moment and break them into bits, simply to assure himself of his strength. And it is as easy to him as to drive away a flea that sits upon our body. Once upon a time, Dundavi the Asura took the form of a huge ox, as huge as the peak of Mount Kailasa, and proud of the boon he had, the strength of 1,000 elephants, he roamed about seeking whom he may lay low, until he came upon the Lord of Waters. "Come out and fight with me, a manly fight," roared he. Now the monarch of the ocean was endowed with boundless strength, but he was a righteous man and read into the book of fate, where he saw that death was even then nearing the Asura. So he replied gently, "O noblest of Asuras, who am I to dream of fighting with such a redoubtable hero as yourself? But let me direct you to a foe worthy of your notice. In the far north, there is a lord of the mountains by the name Himavan, where sages and hermits reside in peace and holiness. Countless peaks, caves, torrents, trees, and canyons adorn him. He has married his daughter to Lord Mahadeva. I know of no other who could meet you in fight and delight your heart." The Asura roared in bitter contempt at the apparent cowardice of the Lord of the Ocean, and like an arrow shot by an archer strong, he sped to the Himalayas and shattered huge pieces of rock from it with his sharp horns, sending up dreadful roars the while. The spirit of the mountain appeared to him in a radiant form of cloud-like whiteness and said, "Dundavi, the world counts you as conversant with every aspect of dharma, and what put it into your head to worry me so? I am blissfully innocent of war and battle or fight or any other training thereto. My days are spent among the pious and ascetics." Fire flashed from the eyes of Dundavi at these craven words of Himavan. "Keep me for a fool who took all this trouble to seek you out in a fight. Let be. I take it that you have no martial training thereto, or that you tremble at the sight of me. Now direct me to someone who is worthy to stand up to me." Himavan drew black with wrath, for no one had dared to insult him so. But he glanced at the future, kept down his anger, and said, "Noble Asura, Vali the Monkey King holds sway at Kishkindha. He is a past master in the art of war, mighty as Indra, and withal with great wisdom. If it is a fight that you are after, he will give you a full measure of it and overflowing. None have till now stood up to him and lived to describe their experience. It will be a rare fight like that of Indra and Namuchi of yore, and you are sure to cry quits." Dundavi boiled with rage at this double disappointment. Very soon he stood before the gates of Kishkindha and roared so that the earth and the sky shook in affright. He took the form of a huge ox with a very sharp pair of horns, darted here and there like a huge rain cloud in the sky, shattered the trees all around, tore up the earth with his hooves, and like a huge elephant, battered down the gates. Bali was quietly sleeping with his women and came out with them like the moon in the midst of the stars. He noticed the pranks of the Asura and spoke in wrath, but so clearly that every word sank into the heart of Dundubi. What do you mean by coming here at this unearthly hour and blocking my gates? You need not howl so and proclaim to me afresh your wonderful strength. I am pleased to forgive you this time and grant you your miserable life. Clear out! But Dundubi, red-eyed with wrath, thundered out, someone directed me to you as a heroic warrior, but I never expected to find a braggart before his women. Now stand up to me and let me have a taste of your vaunted strength. Should your heart fail, I will manage to save my anger till daybreak. Enjoy life and its pleasures, take leave of your kith and kin. Give them your last presents and souvenirs, and spend your time in the delightful company of your friends. Take a last look at your capital and its environs. Choose a fit successor for you. Forget not your wine cup and your women, for you are not likely to see them again. I am here on a holy mission to quench your pride and life together. To the dark hells reserved for the slayer of unborn babes goes he who would kill another when he is intoxicated or asleep or weaponless or girt by women as you are now or distracted with love. Bali listened to him in ominous silence. He pushed aside Tara and other women and laughed low and bitter in suppressed fury. Fool, you will fight with me? Well, please yourself. I am not under the influence of wine. Even if it were so, you might consider it as a drink that warriors take on the eve of battle to nerve their hearts. He donned a garland of gold presented to him by his father Indra, and strode forth to do battle. He caught the sharp horns of Dundubi, whirled aloft his mountainous bulk, dashed him upon the ground, and roared in dreadful mirth. Blood gushed forth in torrents from the ears of the Asura. Long did they fight, ever intent upon seeking the life of one another. Vali, strong and mighty even as the Lord of the Celestials, pounded Dundubi with fists, knees, rocks, and trees. Strange to say, he waxed in strength and energy even as the Asura weakened apace. The long fight told upon the Asura heavily, and he began to suffer at the hands of his redoubtable foe. Observing which, Bali heaved him high above his head and dashed him furiously upon the ground. Dundubi the Asura was a corpse where he lay, and Bali seized the huge carcass and sent it flying beyond a yojana. Torrents of blood flowed from its mouth as it raced along the sky, and a strong gale carried the shower of blood into the ashrama of Rishi Matanga. The Holy One was incensed at the wanton sacrilege and cried, "Who does he call himself, the wicked wretch who defiled me with a shower of blood? Who is he that with uncontrolled senses dared to insult me like a hopeless fool?" He thought for a while and came out of his ashrama, where he beheld the mountainous carcass of Dundubi cumbering the earth. He saw with the eye of wisdom and knew that it was Vali's mischief, and cried, "Death, swift and relentless, waits for him at the confines of my ashrama, who defiled it with this shower of blood. He perishes miserably and surely if he dares step within a yojana all around my hermitage. For he has flung here the carcass of Dundubi and destroyed the trees around the ashrama. His officials here should depart this moment, else my curse falls upon them too. He has no call to destroy the trees laden with fruits and flowers that I had reared with fond care. Should I meet these monkeys here tomorrow at daybreak, I will turn them into shapeless stones for many thousands of years." The monkeys fled in mad terror to Vali, who asked them in surprise when they had quit their posts around the ashrama of Rishi Matanga and was informed of the reason thereof. He hastened to throw himself at the feet of the enraged Rishi and prayed forgiveness with clasped hands. But Matanga withdrew into his cottage without deigning to waste a glance upon him. Bali was sore afraid and left the precincts never to return. Nay, he would not even look that way. My ministers and I take advantage of it and live here in peace and security. Yonder lies the skeleton of Dundadhi like a huge mountain peak, while you flung it here in the madness of his strength. Behold yon shallow trees, seven in number, with huge boughs. While he shook them one by one and deprived them of leaf, shoot, and flower, such is his strength and might. I would give much to know how you mean to slay him in fight. Lakshmana smiled in pity and replied, Well, tell me something that can convince you that Rama can slay Vali. Travel round the four oceans in a second, play at ball with mountain peaks, fling the skeleton of Dundadhi far away. And Sugriva said, I told you that Vali shook these trees one by one and left them bare. Let Rama pierce any one of these with a single shaft and account Vali as dead. Or let him kick the skeleton of Dundadhi 800 cubits away. He thought for a while and said to himself, Maybe these words would displease Rama that I entertain serious doubts of his strength and power. Then he spoke aloud to remove any shade of misconception. Allow me to repeat that Vali is a hero, and many a hero has met his death at his hands. He has never met his equal in strength, valor, or skill. I have witnessed many a time his wonderful exploits that the very gods dare not dream of. The memory of them fills me with terror and makes me seek the darkest corners of Rishimukha. I dare not quit its sanctuary when I reflect upon his blazing wrath and his inconceivable strength and prowess. Fear dogs me at every step and makes me suspect everything. I lead a miserable life here, and these friends of mine are my only consolation and support. Fortune has at last blessed me with a noble friend and matchless hero in you. I take refuge in you as in the lordly Himalayas. But these eyes have beheld Vali in his might and power, while your valor and prowess are utterly unknown to me. I would not for my life have you misunderstand me as testing you, or slighting you, or threatening you. Vali's frightful deeds fill my heart with craven fear. Your truthful speech, clear intellect, unshaken courage, and noble form show forth the boundless energy that fills your heart, even as the slumbering fires of a volcano. Rama smiled to think that Sugriva doubted him only out of ignorance of his valor and replied, Friend, should you entertain the least doubt that I could slay Vali in fight, here is a way to remove it. He observed the Monkey King blame himself for having uttered his suspicions and consoled him. Then he kicked up the huge skeleton of Dundadhi lightly with his toe, and it fell 10 yojanas beyond. But Sugriva exclaimed, Noble sir, Vali threw it when it was heavy with blood and flesh, and life was not extinct in it. Now it is but a bag of bones and light as a bundle of hay. Again, Vali was under the influence of wine when he threw it and exhausted with his long and terrible fight with Dundadhi. But you flung it in full pride of your manly strength. So I find it hard to decide which one of you is stronger. It is one thing to throw afar a living body and another to throw it as a skeleton. Hence my doubts would be set right if you would transfix the solid tree. Bend your bow and send your shaft, and I doubt not it would transfix it. Think not that I have no call to convince me a second time. It is not to test your strength, but out of pure delight that I feel in witnessing your might. Nay, I swear it solemnly. The Lord of Day is the noblest of radiant objects. The Himalayas is the noblest of mountains. The lion is the noblest of beasts. And you are the noblest of valiant heroes. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunavdeya Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.